Well, that was a great moment in history when Jesus died on the cross. Thank you for that good message in Psalm 1. I welcome everyone to Calvary. Are you glad you're here today?
Amen.
Thank you for coming. And over the next few weeks, we're going to begin a brand new series entitled Great Moments. And we're going to be profiling the lives of Bible characters and what might be termed great moments in their life. And what do we mean by great moments? How do we look at that? That would be times we might call those happy moments, those times when people would be happy, or life-changing moments. What are some great personal moments in your life? Think back. What could you say, this was a great moment in my life? I'm sure you have many. Like, for example, you might think back, you consider the fact that when you graduated from grade school and you went to high school, as being a great moment. That was a time, you know, when you went from being a little kid to now being a full-grown teenager. That would be a great moment. Maybe the great moment in your life you might think of is when you graduated from high school, or college for that matter. Think about that high school. You spent 17 or 18 years of your life investing in your education, and now you've completed it. But then you added 4 more years, and you went to college. Or for some, they crammed 4 years into 7, or whatever the case is. And you graduated. That would be a great moment. Maybe a great moment might be when you got engaged. You met the person that you planned to marry, and you were engaged. And then the marriage came, and what a great time that was. When now the huge event in your life, when you're married, that was a great event. And then later God gave you children. That would be a great event as well. Or maybe you landed that dream job, and you were given a special recognition for a project you completed, or something you had done. That was a great moment for you. When I think about those things, those great moments, and I'm sure that all of you have many more, here's my question. What would God call a great moment in your life? What would God say, this was the greatest moment in your life? Maybe different than you think. You know, as I reflect over my life, I think of some of the great moments that I've been able to enjoy, my educational checkpoints where I graduated from college and high school and all of those things, and those were certainly great events. Think of the time when God gave me my wife and we married, and that was a great event, certainly, and God gave us children and God called us here and all of those things. Those were great events, my call to the ministry. But I'll be honest with you, there were times in my life when I thought of an event in human terms as being a horrible event that was a great event. Like, for example, I remember my senior year in college, I had gotten really, really sick and had to go to the campus college hospital. And it was a horrible thing to have to go there. And going into that hospital, having to check in and go through the process and be triaged in and get inside and have to go, and they assign you to a bed. And man, it was horrible. Except I saw this cute nurse. Wow, a horrible event in my life could not be as bad as I thought. I really wanted her to be my nurse, but she was busy on the other side, and I was hoping that maybe this horrible event could turn into something really good, and down the road, perhaps God would allow us to cross paths, in which indeed we did. And as they say, the rest is history. As God enabled me to meet Janet, we were married, and will celebrate next month 36 years. And we thank God for that. What a horrible event in my life was changed into a great event. Then early in our marriage, we had another horrible event that we shared, and that was the time that God led us to leave the East Coast and come to the West Coast. I never forget the day when we had everything packed up that we owned, which wasn't a whole lot, and everything packed up in the back of a truck, and we were standing there looking at our family, and with pain in our heart and tears in our eyes, we said goodbye. And that was a horrible event. But what we found out later in our life was that was not really a horrible event, even though there was still the pain, the tears, the say goodbye. It turned out to be one of the great events in our life. We could have never known all the people that we were able to meet and see those who had trusted Christ and see lives changed and see the opportunities we've had that God has given to us. We could have never, never known those unless we had that horrible event in our life. Maybe some of you might be here this morning and you might be in what might be humanly called a horrible event, a horrible moment in your life. Oh, it could be a marital issue, maybe a health struggle, or even worse, a job loss, something of that effect that you may look and say, you know, these are horrible moments in my life, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm not sure that I'm able to handle this. I don't know what I can do. But it's in these bad moments that God wants to encourage us with a couple of thoughts. Let me give them to you. A couple of blessings that God gives to us. And I think most of us know the verses, but here's the first blessing to keep in mind if you're in one of those horrible moments in your life, that there's a purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose." To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Can we say that last part together? According to his purpose. Can we say it together? Ready? According to his purpose. Whatever comes in your life, whatever horrible moment that you might find yourself in, God said there's a purpose for it. God says that he has a purpose. And I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes that purpose is not always revealed in the moment, but later it becomes clear that God had a purpose. So to keep in mind this moment in time where you might be, God says to you to comfort yourself with the fact that there is a purpose. But there's a second reminder that God gives to us, and that is that God is for us. I love this verse in Romans 8:31. And that verse very clearly says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You realize that God is for you. That God is not fighting against you. You know, sometimes I think we get the idea, and that's how the world thinks, that when you serve God, that God's fighting against you from having all the fun in the world. But let me tell you that God reminds us that he's not against us, that he's for us. And that sometimes what looks like a lot of fun can be disastrous. And what God is trying to do is protect us from those things that could hurt us. Because remember, God is for us. You know, that's what when I think of all that, I'm reminded of these. And sometimes, strangely enough, what might be a bad moment in someone else's life would be a great lesson for you, for me, and a great moment in our life to learn something that God wants to teach us. I had an uncle who had a bad drinking problem. And he, one night, he went to a bar, many years ago when I was a young boy. He went to a bar and he got drunk. He was beaten badly, and they took him to the hospital. We were called in the middle of the night. We went to go see him, and I'll never forget walking in the hospital room. He'd been beaten badly, bruised around his face because he'd been drinking, gotten drunk, got himself all messed up. And I know that that stuck in my mind, that bad event in his life stuck in my mind as a constant reminder whenever I'm tempted to pick up a bottle or drink something. I'm reminded of that scene in my life. That was a bad event for him, but it was a good event to teach me the lesson God wanted me to know. When I look into the scriptures, God has Bible personalities who have both good, great moments and not so great moments in their life to teach us spiritual lessons. I get you to join with me in Genesis chapter 32. We're going to look at a moment in the life of Jacob. Now, if you were to ask Jacob, is this your great moment? And Jacob would have to say, absolutely not. It's a horrible moment in the moment that he's in. But later, he would have to say, later in his life, this was the great moment in his life. This was a moment which changed everything for Jacob. Let me bring you up to speed on where we are before we look into the passage so we know what's going on in the story. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers to Rebekah and Isaac. Isaac was now old and was about ready to die, and he had lost his eyesight. And Isaac wanted to bring in Esau to pass the birthright and the lineage of Jesus on to Esau. That was the normal birth order. The oldest would take that responsibility down to the next generation. But Jacob wanted the birthright. And so he disguised himself. He slipped into the bedroom, disguised himself as Esau, and stole the birthright away from Esau. When he did, these two now became bitter enemies. Esau and Jacob were now going to part, and years would separate them. And Esau had sworn that he was going to get revenge on Jacob. He was going to get him for what he had done in stealing the birthright. Years had passed now. They both had gained their own respect and wealth and families. And one day, word comes from Esau that he was going to meet Jacob the next day. Jacob was now reflecting back on what he had done. He knew that he had stole the birthright, and he began to think about that. And he thought things could get really bad here. It was now in the evening time, and Jacob had decided to go ahead and send his family ahead, and they were going to cross the Jabbok River and send them on ahead so that he could be here alone. And that's where we pick up the story. Look at verse 22, Genesis 32 and verse number 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. If you notice here that he had sent them all over, everything he had, he sent them over. Then the Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now get the scene. It's dark. He's all alone. All he could think about on that moonlit night was could this be my last night? Esau was coming to get me. Am I going to die? Will I never see another sunrise? What's going to happen? He wasn't sure. Maybe as he sat there in that, there on the shore of the Jabbok, and he looked up into the sky, he was thinking about all this, he was worried, he was concerned, wondering what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, this figure, he didn't know who it was dark, this figure just jumped on top of him. Did Esau surprise him and come and attack him and try to take his life? Was it a stranger that just wanted to rob him of what he had left? What was it? What was this strange thing that had taken place? All he knew to do was react like he always did. And so he wanted to react and he began to wrestle with this man. Wow. But this event, or this moment in his life, became a turning point. You see, the truth of the matter is, when you think about the whole understanding of this moment, what God was teaching us in this lesson was that in this moment of conflict was a wrestling match for Jacob's surrender. He had to surrender. He had to give up. But he wasn't ready yet. At least not when the wrestling match started. He still wanted to struggle. He still wanted to have a victory. You see, before, and here's the key, before he could follow his family and into the land of blessing across the Jabbok, he had to wrestle with his own will. Before he could go with his possession, go with his servants and the possessions and go there, he had to wrestle with God. You see, Jacob had wrestled with men in his past. He wrestled with Esau, certainly, as we know, and he had wrestled with Isaac and Laban, his father-in-law. But now, he's not wrestling with man, he's wrestling God. In the beginning, I don't think he realized it. He didn't recognize the fact this was a man or he was surrendered right away. No, we don't find that. But it became clear in time through his weakness that this was God. And something I've learned a long time ago is that when you find yourself wrestling with God, it's in your weaknesses when you begin to see God in his strength. You begin to see how big God is. You begin to see how powerful God is. And during the dark night of his soul, he discovered they'd been wrestling with God, and the only way to get victory was to surrender. A.W. Tozier said this. He said, "The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him." You see, the only way that Jacob could really have those blessings that waited for him on the other side was he had to be conquered by God. And what that means, and I want us to understand, that doesn't mean salvation, because I'm going to tell you, salvation was already conquered by Jesus Christ. But the place of promise means that we have to realize that we have to die to ourselves and let God conquer us for his glory. So many of us struggle like Jacob. We want to do it our own way. We struggle making our own plans and living our own life and doing things until a crisis comes, and then we go crying to God and running to God and wanting God to kind of bail us out. We run to God when we become dislocated and kind of out of sorts. But I want to tell you that when we surrender to God, God does some new things in our life. God does some amazing things in our life. I want you to notice something that God did in Jacob's life once he surrendered. God gave him three distinctives. Number one, the Bible said that he gave him a new name, a brand new name. Look in verse 28, the same passage you were just looking at. The Bible said, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You see, because Jacob realized he had to surrender to God, God gave him a brand new name. By the way, that's what the songwriter meant when he said that God gives us a new name, and it's written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. God gives us a new name. When we surrender to God, God gives us a brand new name, which means a new identity, that we're no longer identified with the things of this world, but we're identified with Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. But then also we find that Jacob was given a new perspective. If you notice here, the Bible said in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. From this time on, he had a brand new walk. His perspective in everything began to change. He goes from a person who was trying to live in his own energy, in his own strength, trying to wrestle with everybody, conquer everybody himself, to where he was now a conquered man who had a whole different viewpoint on life. He was now limping for the rest of his life as a reminder of the fact he'd come in contact with God and God changed his life. A new perspective. And by the way, if we're here today and we've had an encounter with God, we've had a time in our life where we met Jesus Christ as our Savior, God says he's given you a brand new walk. But then there's a third distinction that God gave, and I want you to notice: a new relationship. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. A brand new relationship. These three distinctions mark a man who has wrestled with God and surrendered. But I must tell you that I've had my own wrestling matches with God. I must tell you that there have been times in my life when, prior to becoming a believer, I wrestled. When I first heard the gospel, I wasn't willing to surrender. When I first heard that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he died for me, that he was buried, that he rose again, I wasn't ready. And I avoided the thought of what I had heard. I tried to tune it out. I tried to forget about it. I did everything I possibly could. If I started thinking about that fact that Jesus died for me and that he was buried and that he rose again, I would turn on the television set or pick up a book and read it or try to find something else to occupy my mind. However, at night I would lie in my bed under deep conviction. Well, either I could not think of anything else but that. And through the night I would just worry, wondering if somehow or another that God would just leave me alone. I remember wrestling. What I was wrestling with was not so much about the gospel, it was about my surrender to God. When I finally decided it was enough, I'll never forget, I went to that meeting and on a Sunday night, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. What a difference. It was a great moment. And if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you may be wrestling with God like I did. Maybe you find yourself kind of wrestling, struggling, you know, dealing with that in your own life. And you know, you have that load of sin, that guilt of sin. It's just weighing you down. God may have sent you here to divinely interrupt your path in life to simply get your attention to say, Now, in this struggle, I want you to know that you can have this great moment in your life, and I'm offering it to you through my son, Jesus. Will you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? I mean, when you yield to him, you're given a new walk, a new name, a new perspective, just like Jacob had. In fact, the bottom line is this: accepting Jesus Christ is the greatest moment in your life. Or maybe you're here today and you already are a Christian. You might be in the middle of one of those bad moments in your life. And perhaps maybe in that bad moment, what God is trying to get you to do is God wants you to say in this bad moment that I want this to be a great moment in your life. I want to do something in your life, and maybe God is trying to get your attention, something you haven't surrendered to. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's a lust. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's a bitterness. Maybe it's the lack of surrender. Maybe it's that time that you should give to God and you haven't given it to God. Maybe that's what God's doing in your life and He wants you to surrender that. You know what? This story says so much to me. It's a great story. God had touched his thigh, and for the rest of his life, he never forgot the event. The days of Esau, what seemingly would have been a horrible event was a great event for him, a great moment in his life. Though the bright morning sun revealed a stooped, bleeding, beaten, bruised man with tattered clothes, dark with soil and sweat, dragging a leg and grimacing with each step, he was a changed man. See, Jacob actually wins by losing. And I want to tell you this. Any time that you surrender to God and it appears that you lose, actually you win when you surrender to God. You actually win. God may be here working in your life right now. God might be going up and down. And I pray this morning, God, I want you to go all up and down these pews and speak to every heart here today. And God may have brought you here for this moment to make this a great moment in your life. God might be speaking to you about some area that you need to just surrender. I don't know what it is, but God certainly does. It might be that God would have you to spend the time that you're maybe wasting away to spend some time with Him. Perhaps maybe the time that you should be in church and you're doing other things, God may be speaking to you about that. Or perhaps maybe God might be speaking to you about singing the choir or working the nursery or helping out with children's ministries or being a part of a connection group you haven't surrendered that yet. Perhaps maybe that's what God's speaking to you about. I close with a thought that I notice here in the verse. Here's what Jacob said. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You know what I think? None of us here should let God go until He blesses us. And as God begins to work in our heart, that's going to involve surrender. And I'm going to tell you this, when you surrender, you always win. When you surrender to God. Let's pray.